I feel very weak this morning. I need your prayers. I need your help as we try to convey what God has laid upon our heart. Most of the time when the Lord gives us a thought, we pretty much know exactly what we need to do and how to deliver that message. But every time I would ask the Lord this week what He had me to preach on, it started out as what was, what is, and then yesterday He added what is to be. You ever thought about that? Just stop for a few moments of time and what was, how things were, you know, before we got saved, as we were raised up. What was, how the church was, and this morning, even in our Sunday school lesson, Brother Terry did a wonderful job, and we were talking about that tabernacle. And I thought about, even in those days, what was the tabernacle? Then they built this beautiful, splendorous temple, and then it was destroyed, and then they tried to erect another one up, and the people of Jerusalem wept because they looked back and said, well, that's nothing like it used to be. And I think sometimes that's what we do, is we think about how it used to be. For some of us, it used to be pretty good. For some of us, it was pretty bad. But how it was, how it is, or what it is, or what will be. And after I studied all of that and began to meditate on it, I come to this conclusion that what was and what is to be is filled with time and change. Time and change. We look back on time and we see there's been a lot of changes. There's a lot of changes and a lot of things of the way we worship, how we worship, even in the days of Jerusalem. And then when Jesus came on the scene, there were some things that changed. Most of it was for the better. A lot of the things we look at, it's for the better. And some things we look at, not so much. But you know, the wise man Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 11, I'm going to read, that'll be our text. We'll come from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 22. And what Solomon is trying to convey to us is that there's going to be a time for everything. A time for what was, a time for what is, and a time for what is to be. I don't know about you, but I really get excited about the future. You see, I've got a lot to look forward to. I've got a lot to accomplish. Maybe not in this life, but in the life to come, boy, it's looking pretty good. And to me, I don't know about you, Brother Quinn, but it's looking better every day, doesn't it? The more I live here, we see our children, we see our grandchildren, and how they are growing up, and how it was when they were little. Now they're changing. Now the grandchildren are coming on. What it is. And I shudder to think of how it's going to be when I get a little bit older and my children, which are going through a time that is so uncertain. And yet, I get to the point where I think, God, what can I do? And I come to the conclusion that there's not anything more than we can do is just keep leaning on the everlasting arm of our Lord and Jesus Christ. But Solomon said, to everything there is a season. And he says, and a time to every purpose under the sun. This generation that we live in, we've got a purpose. Oftentimes we try to search for what that purpose is. And when we find that purpose, a lot of times we don't accept it in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. So we have to think about that. You see, because there is a time to be born. That's what was, right? There's a time to die. That's what to be. And all we have is this period of time. I've got maybe 45 minutes that I'm going to try to deliver a message. And that's all that I have. If I'm allowed to do that. I may be taken out before I get done. Or I may be stopped abruptly by the Holy Spirit and He has to take over. And I'm okay with that. I really am. If that's what He wants, let it be so. Let it be so. But then there's a time to plant. I believe that's what was last week. I've come to that conclusion. I believe there were seeds that were planted. There'll be seeds that will be planted today. There's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck up for the harvest. That which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't like war. Well, let me help you to broaden your scope a little bit. This may not be talking about a physical war. You see, our warfare is a spiritual warfare. So, there's going to be a time of war where we're fighting diligently against the warfare and the things of this world and the spiritual realm, if you will. So, think of it in that way. So, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? He said, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time, and hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Our thought really comes from the 15th verse. That which hath been is now. Think about that. That has been is right now. And that which is to be hath already been. Oh, becomes kind of complicated, huh? It's not very complicated if you belong to the Lord. And God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. And I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go into one place. And you know what that one place is? It's called the grave. All will go into one place. What was, what is, what is to be, that's what we got to look forward to. There's a grave that all are going to go into. And so he says, all of the dust, and all that turn to dust again, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that go downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that he is his portion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? I want us to turn
to the Hebrew letter in the 13th chapter, and we're going to continue our lesson there concerning these verses of Scripture. In the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the writer here says this. He says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." He says, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What was, what is to be, and what is, I'll tell you. One thing we all have to look forward to is the grave. And the one thing that you need to make sure that you possess before the grave is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now put that in there. What was Jesus Christ? What is today? Jesus Christ. What shall be in the future? Jesus Christ. What we need to focus on is Jesus Christ. I don't know what I'm going to say today. I don't have all these notes laid out that how this should go. All I know is I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says that no matter what was, what is, or what will be, the one thing that is going to matter when it's all said and done is Jesus Christ. That's what's going to matter. It's not how good of a pastor you have, how bad of a pastor you have, Sunday school teachers, deacons, and all these other things. We put those things on, you know, well, back then, they was really good. Have done the things that they should have, and all these other things. Well, that was back then. All we have is right now. And all that really matters is, are they Christ-centered? Is everything that we do Christ-centered? Is our focus on Jesus Christ? Is what we need to be? Even back then, it was what we needed to focus on. What we need to focus on today is Jesus Christ. What we need to focus on in the future is Jesus Christ. I can't wait. I'm not surprised from the songs that are sung. But what a day that will be! When my Jesus, I finally get to see. And when I stand before God, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to give an account of everything that I did back then. What was? I'm going to have to give an account for what I give today. What is? And when I get before Him, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That when we stand before Him, His blood covered it all. And so He says, "Be not teary about with divers and strange doctrines." He said, "For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace." Established with grace, not with meats which are not profit of them that have been occupied therein. So, when I thought about the things today that I needed to express, these verses of Scripture came to me. The next thing that came to me is, remember what was. Remember what was. In the book of Psalms, in the Psalm, it says in the 137th division of Psalms, do you remember that Psalm? The children of Israel, they were remembering how it was back then. And this is what they came to in this conclusion. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, and we wept." Why did you weep? Because they remembered. They remembered. What did they remember? They remembered Zion. I'll tell you, if you keep your focus on Mount Zion, if you keep your focus, and Mount Zion means the church. It's the church. And what is the church? It's the people that make up. And a lot of people say, well, back then the church was full. And the church was spiritual. The church was doing this. And the church was doing that. I'm going to tell you, the people outside of church were suffering. They were suffering. And they went without a lot that we are blessed with today. And a lot of people, you know, I for whatever reason in my ministry, when I think about how it was back then, we just get little snapshots of how good service was then or good service was then. But I'm going to tell you, there were many, many services that went by when it was cold and people were just praying It was hard times. It was rough times. And so you know what the preachers, they would say, you know what we need to do? We just need to keep looking to Jesus. And one of the things that Jesus taught us to do was to help our neighbors. And they would bind their efforts together. You know why they were giving good services? They wasn't focused on all the things that was going wrong. They were focused on the things that were going right. And the one thing was right is that they were bringing their children up in the nurture and the admonition of God. And they remembered that. And then there came a day when all of that was taken away. And why was it taken away? It was taken away because of sin. Let's be honest. Isaiah the prophet, I just got to listen to the first 40 chapters of the book of Isaiah. And in the first 40 chapters of the book of Isaiah, after I got to verse or chapter 39, I was so depressed, I thought to myself, my goodness, how bad it must have been back then. Why? Because everyone was doing their own thing, they were doing what they wanted to do, and Isaiah was saying, you need to repent, you need to turn back to God. He's going to destroy this country. He's going to destroy this. He's going to destroy that. But then he got to the 40th chapter. And you know what? God heard their prayer. God heard their prayer. And then he said, you can mount up. You can mount up as an eagle. But with wings, you can run and not be weary. I'll tell you, our brothers and sisters, Faith Church, don't grow weary in this. That's how it was. That's how it is. So they cried and they wept. Why did they wept? Because the world was saying, that Babylon was saying, sing us one of those songs. Sing us one of those cheerful songs. And they couldn't sing a cheerful song because you see, the people weren't very cheerful. So he says to them, we hanged our harps on the willows in the midst thereof. For they carried us away captive, requiring of us a song that they wasted as required as a merit, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we're still in a strange land. And every now and then, God will come by and allow us to sing a melody from our heart. David this morning, he was just a commenting on the singing last week and how the church was just vibrating, how the people's voices and the blending of God's voices. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that's nothing compared to what is going to happen in the future. It's not. Oh, it was wonderful. Don't get me wrong. But what is to be is a choir of all of them plus 100,000 innumerable people that no man can number that are going to join together. And when they join together, then you know what we're going to sing? We're going to sing the song of Moses. The song of deliverance. And not only the song of deliverance, but the next choir in the book of Revelation says that we're going to sing the song of the Lamb. Who? Jesus Christ. They say, yesterday, today, and forever. The song that the angels came and said. You talk about those that will be in awe. Can you see the angels playing their harps? And those redeemed began to cry out from the depth of their soul. And they sang the song of the true song of Zion. I can't wait till that day. But I have to. Because my time is not yet. Your time is not yet. You're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. And don't let Satan, don't let anybody, don't let the world convince you that there is nothing to look forward to, because we've got everything to look forward to. Please pray for me. But have I forget thee, O Jerusalem? Let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my roof cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even the foundation thereof. And that word means to destroy it, demolish it, just take it away. I'll tell you, our God is still on his throne, but there are those of his throne that want to destroy the works and everything that we have accomplished here. And let me tell you, we haven't accomplished anything unless the Lord delivers it. He's the accomplisher. We're just the servant. I'm just the one that would be so happy to be. It's working for me. That's what God wanted. That's what I want to be able to do. And if God wants you to be the doorkeeper, be the very best doorkeeper that you can be. And they give Him glory. And they give Him honor. Because He deserves it all. Keep your focus on who it is that we're serving today. Who is it? Who did they serve then? What is it, Jesus? What is today, Jesus? What will it be in the future? Is Jesus. And I know I've said this many times, but I guess I got to remind myself daily to get this all about Jesus. There's nothing about me. Whether I'm here, whether I'm there, whether wherever I am in the future, it's all about Jesus. And that should be all of our heart's desire, to serve the Lord. One writer said, to serve the Lord is Christ. Do we serve the Lord as Christ? There's a few times when I wasn't very glad to serve Him. But you know what? There's those times when we get to the point where we just don't feel like even coming to church and worshiping. And maybe somebody felt like that today. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's you. I don't know. All I know is that we're here. And because we're here, it is a blessing from God. That is right now. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the same. So what is today? What is today? What is? What was? And what is today? What is today? When I thought about that, and I thought, well, what is today? I'll tell you what today is. Turn with me to the 118th edition of Psalms. Psalms 18 and 23, this is what it says. And look at it. And a lot of times we go right for the verse 24. What is the verse? And, but you know what? At that verse before it's you know what it says? It says this. This is the Lord's doing. You know, I could just stop off here. What is right now is the Lord doing. Think about that. Because you're here today, that's the Lord doing. We get to meet new faces, new friends today. You say, well, who's that? Well, there's a new one here. Thank you for coming. That's the Lord doing. That's the Lord doing, that we're able to rise from our bed today and to come and worship. We get to worship Jesus. That's the Lord's doing. So you see, it is marvelous in our eyes. Isn't it marvelous? I'll tell you, I don't want to come to church to get beat over the head every Sunday about how wicked and how bad I am, even though I deserve it. We're here because of the Lord Jesus. It is marvelous in our eyes. So what is today? The next verse says, this is the day of the Lord. Let us be glad and rejoice. I'm sorry. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that God has made. What are we going to do? How many of you got plans today? Do you know I got plans today? How many of us on our list of plans for today? Well, we're going to be at Sunday school at 10 o'clock. And I'm going to work out to do this. Oftentimes, if you're a pastor, you know, I plan to be here at 10 o'clock at Sunday. Let's be real. Let's let reality slip in. Let's let reality sink in. This is the Lord's doing. Marvelous in our eyes. It is marvelous in our eyes. So as we set out to do these things, one of the things that we need to plan and the purpose for today is this is God. He should be the number one focus. This afternoon, we got a birthday party to go to. I've got to study. I know what I've got to preach on. I've got to preach on the Sermon that God gave me last week that I was prepared for this revival, but the Lord didn't let me use it. I don't know why I didn't. Because God said, you're not going to use it in this revival, but you're going to use it in the next revival. We plan to do these things. We plan to do that. We plan to do all these things. But then we come to the reality of it. The day which the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Say now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light, bind the sacrifice, the cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. You say, Brother Spurgeon, you've already preached that one to do it, and I have, but it doesn't change. That was the Lord doing that day. This is the Lord doing. I believe James explained that very well. In the fourth chapter of the book of James, we'll turn over there, and we're going to be just about finished. If the Lord says we're finished, and if it is, that's fine. If it's not, that's fine too. But this is what it says in the book of James in the fourth chapter. It says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? In verse 13, he says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue therein a year and buy and sell and get gain. Isn't that what we're focused on? Prosperity? Are we focused on what we're going to do after a while? Are we focused on what we're going to be doing just a little later? I'll tell you, somebody is not going to make it to a little later. You know why? Because we're going to come to the end. Whether you're beast, whether you're a human, we're all going back to the one place that the writer is telling us that is that we're all going back to that one place, and that one place is the grave. And when the grave comes, I'll tell you, I used to sing a song, we just started living. But I'm telling you, when you just say you just start living, you see, but when you die, then you just start living. If you're saved. If you're not saved, oh. But you say, when is my time coming? What is to be? Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, whether you want to address it or not, the one thing that you need to address is this. When you come to the end of your life, and your life is just a little vapor, that, and you know that to be true, and I'm finding it out more and more every day, but you know what? We're thinking about what we're doing tomorrow. And you know what? That's okay if you put Jesus first. Put the Lord first. All these other things are just extra benefits. James said this, go to now and say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there in a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then it vanisheth. For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we will, or we shall live and do this or that. Then after this or that is done, no matter how good a job you did or how poor a job it was, or even this message, when I say the last word,
to be what it was. How many moments have we let slip away that could have been, that would have been, that should have been, for God's glory?
James says, "But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that doeth to do, knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is evil."
Do you have a song selected, Brother Jimmy?
There's a song that came to my heart. It may be the same one. If it's not, there's part of it that needs to at least be
said. That's 360 in each book.
The conclusion of this message is today contained in this song that was written by William and Gloria Gaither. It says, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living. Yes. Use your time wisely that God has given you. Yes, time will change. Things will change. I have changed. I've changed a lot. In almost the last 2 years I've been coming here. I hope and pray that it was for the good. But I know that sin, because of that, part of the change is that my body is getting weak. But my spirit and soul, all it longs to go to a better place that God has gone to prepare. If you're not ready for that day, what is to be, you're going to die. And when you die, that's it. It's fixed. There's no change. However, that body is sick. That dust will go back to the one that is solid and is looked at. The spirit goes back to the spirit, to the one who gave it, and that dust will go back to the earth where it came out. Today, if you're not prepared to meet your God, quit focusing on what was. Focus on what is now. And especially, take now to get ready for the future. That's what I had to say today, and I didn't know I was going to say all those things, but sometimes it's best that way. Just to let God have His way. Just to Him be glory and honor and all things. Go ahead and sing whatever song you want.